Welcome, Sun Prairie. You are listening to 103.5 FM WLSP LP Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Welcome, folks. We have a great show today. Dr. Katie is here, and you're listening to Dr. Katie on 103.5 The Sun Community Radio, coming to you from 103.5 Studios, underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. I'm Donna, and you're listening to Essential Oils. Welcome, Katie. Thank you for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
And Katie's voice is going to sound familiar because she just finished a show with Rex Owens, and that show is My World and Welcome to It. So if you haven't listened to Rex's show, My World and Welcome to It, please tune in so you can hear Katie, because this is two different shows, so we'll be talking about different things and get to know Katie all the better. And Katie is a naturopath doctor, nutritionist, and health educator. Katie is the owner of Human Nature, where she's in a consults with individuals using food and the principles of functional medicine to achieve wellness. And now she's published a book. The book is called The Body Tune-Up. So she's going to look at the entire person, and she wants you to have good wellness. You know, maybe it's disruptive sleep or more energy. Welcome, Katie. Thank you for coming in.
I'm so glad to be here, Donna. Thanks.
Would you like to tell the folks at home something about yourself, who you are?
Sure. I live in Madison with my family, have married and have kids, and this is Human Nature is my business, and I have been working with people one-on-one to be healthier for the past 15 years.
That's quite an investment, and to be there 15 mm-hmm. years, you must like it. You're going back and now with the book, and you just keep doing more and more and learning more and more. And
yeah, well, when you work in health and alternative health and wellness, there's always so much to learn. So that's one of the things I like about this field. I'm always learning more. And I learn from every single person who comes to me, too, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Education is power, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, it really is.
And we, the patients, the individuals, we need to take that responsibility for our own health and ask mm-hmm. questions. You know, are there other options, or be savvy?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's about being the best version of yourself, too. And you have to sort of push beyond the normal, or what's normal for you in
yes.
order to really achieve, you know, being a better person overall, getting the most out of life.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Because the folks at home, they know that I have my white hair, you know. And me, myself, at this age, I want to keep learning about myself so that I can also be a better person. And if I can do something for better health, or
right.
I want to learn in that education.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. We mentioned disruptive sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any clients come in with disruptive sleep?
Yeah, or? Most people, actually. It may not be their number one reason. It's not always the number one reason to come in, but a lot of people suffer from kind of poor sleep, or they've been taking a prescription medicine for a long time to help them sleep, and they're still not really sleeping that great. I mean, I think part of it is, I think there's many reasons. Part of it, I think, is cultural, the way our lifestyle is today. You know, we don't get a lot of physical activity. We don't go outside much, especially in the winter. We're surrounded by screens, you know, that impair our sleep. We might not be eating properly. We might just, you know, as Americans, I think we're kind of go, 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 go.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's sometimes difficult going through different stressful phases for people to be able to find that rhythm of sleeping again once it's been disrupted.
Yes, those dream, that REM,
mm-hmm.
that's so important, isn't it? Your body
yeah.
is healing while you're sleeping, is it?
Yeah,
Katie?
Yeah, that's the prime time for your body to recirculate and repair and heal, absolutely. But I think what happens is people don't get very good sleep, and then they don't really go back to a very healthy baseline, right? So then they end up with chronic health issues that seem like they can't get over them.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Because let's say, for an example, the base problem is disruptive sleep. Mm-hmm. It's just going to affect, maybe you gain weight. You know, it's going to affect other things in your life too, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Yep. In terms of like weight gain, I think you're absolutely right. We know that the hormone leptin rises the less sleep you have. And so you're hungry, you're hungrier, you're more impulsive. You're going to make decisions and choose to eat foods that aren't as good for you because you're not sleeping as well. So that's well documented. So working on sleep and restoring sleep is really key to having healthy weight or being able to feel in control.
I've heard too that sleep is so important, Katie, because that's when the brain and the spine, they talk to one another while you're sleeping.
Yeah, and your body actually moves like a lymphatic fluid, it's called, all the way up and around your brain. It's sort of, it's just wild, all
Isn't
the things
it?
That happen when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And for your immune health too, you know, it's very important for your immune system to get sleep.
Right. It's kind of like mm-hmm. those theories, you know, one thing affects another. So if you're not getting good sleep, well, there goes your immune system, the adrenal glands.
Yep.
And because I know when I go in, like for acupuncture, mm-hmm. my acupuncturist, Joe, he'll say, oh, we need to support the adrenal glands. They need some mm-hmm. support. And mm-hmm. so...
Yeah, and so sleeping, especially even being able to sleep in and allowing yourself to sleep in if you do have adrenal gland or need more adrenal gland support can be really helpful because that sleep is very important. It sort of can be a fine line between catching up on sleep but also sleeping at the right time. Right. So one thing that really helps the adrenal glands not only is to get more sleep but to be in sleep early.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by like 9:30 or 10 p.m., because it's understood that the adrenal glands restore, you know, during a part of your circadian rhythm. So
yes.
You've got to be sleeping. So, and also your adrenal glands are affected by the light. So
mm-hmm.
if you're awake when the sun is up, especially in the morning, then you'll be able to recover from stress. So it's not just are you getting enough hours of sleep? But it's also like, when are you sleeping that can be kind of the next level to work
mm-hmm.
towards?
How complex, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That entire picture when you start pulling those threads apart, how it
mm-hmm.
all intertwines together.
Yeah, in a way, right? But I think it's only complex because of how our lifestyle has become so disconnected from the natural world. Right, because if we think about our ancestors' lifestyle,
right.
With, you know, they didn't have so many things.
Electricity. They had to go to bed. It was dark.
Exactly. And so it wasn't really a complex thing if you were more attuned to the natural world or forced to deal with natural elements, whereas today we're so sort of disconnected from that. Yeah.
Yes, even the
are complicated.
The TV shows, you know, it
yeah,
used to be
exactly.
when I was a child, certain time, and then that would be snow on TV. There
mm-hmm.
were no programs,
mm-hmm.
but now today with TV,
mm-hmm.
it's accessible whenever you would like.
Exactly, or the smartphone, or anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that sleep is so important, isn't it? It's just, it can age you, you know, if you're
Absolutely.
Getting good sleep.
Absolutely.
You'll look younger and refreshed
mm-hmm.
and.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think most people who aren't sleeping well sort of recognize that that it's a big issue, but maybe feel like they're not sure what to do about it. It can be very
right.
frustrating.
Right.
It can be very difficult
sure.
to overcome a poor sleep pattern.
Right. When you're a layperson, you don't have that knowledge to turn to. So, yes, it is frustrating. And mm-hmm. what am I doing wrong? And,
right.
you know, maybe it's better, too, to have a dark bedroom, you know, blackout bedroom with no street lights or night lights.
Absolutely. Having a very dark room and what they call good sleep hygiene, right, where you're not on your smartphone or on a computer or a screen for an hour or two before the time you're going to go to sleep. Don't have any lights, don't have a phone on in your bedroom. That's all really important. The temperature of the bedroom also can be important. Like I think doctors say, you know, having it between 60 and 67 degrees is about right for most people. So a cooler bedroom can help with sleep too.
Okay. Well, listeners, if you're having sleep problems, that's a lot of good pointers there to maybe take one at a time and just try it for a month and see what happens, and then maybe try another one and see if you're getting a better quality of sleep. And and two, if we're not getting our sleep, we get kind of irritable. You know, we snap easily, and so that sleep is so important for so many things.
Right.
Yeah. What about eating before going to bed, fasting? Should we, like, stop eating at 7 o'clock and wait 10, 12 hours before we eat again? Does that help anything with sleep?
Yeah, sometimes it does, actually. I think there's different ways to approach that. Because some people will wake up because their blood sugar is low. So if someone is experiencing blood sugar highs and blood sugar lows a lot, they will also experience that in the middle of the night, and they'll just wake up randomly, and they might not even feel hungry, but because their blood sugar is so disrupted, their brain and their body's not able, it's the adrenal glands, again, that help regulate the level of blood sugar getting to your brain while you're resting that allows you to stay asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to that end, sometimes having a high protein or high fat with a little bit of carbohydrate bedtime snack actually is really helpful. But on the other hand, some people would do better without eating at all. Like if they're waking up because their digestion is disrupted, or they just don't feel like they digest their last meal as easily as meals earlier in the day, then that's probably the type of person where fasting, you know, within a few hours of falling asleep is actually going to help them sleep. So, and there have been some interesting studies too. Like one study showed that eating carbohydrate at dinner is a precursor. It's got tryptophan in it, which helps us make melatonin, which helps us sleep. But then others, I would say in my experience, sometimes people who go on like a ketogenic or a fat-based diet experience such a leveling of their blood sugar control that they sleep better. So there's not like one hard rule. That's kind of how sleep is. There's not one thing that's going to work for everybody.
That you individual.
Have to experiment.
And that's what you're all about, Dr. Katie, is looking at the individual person.
Right. So I'm going to talk with someone one-on-one and help tease some of these things apart and point out things that maybe they haven't thought about, so that they're able to adjust their meals so that they're sleeping better.
Dr. Katie, what is your contact information? How can people reach out to you?
Oh, the best way is probably to find my website, which is humannaturellc.com. There's a contact form there, so if they want to send me an email, they can send me an email that way. There's also a link to schedule if they're ready to schedule.
And after all this time, and when did you start, Katie? How long have you been doing this?
So I've been doing this for a little more than 15 years.
15 years. And now, folks, Katie has taken that next step, and she has wrote a book, The Body Tune-Up.
Right.
You want to give us a little information how that came about?
Sure. The Body Tune-Up is based off of a workbook that I've been using with groups for 15 years. And The Body Tune-Up is a book that describes a food-based cleanse. So you're very much eating a lot of food while you're doing this process of internal cleansing, which is like supporting healthy digestive habits, balancing the gut biome or the microbes in the gut, and then also supporting the toxin-removing organs, the liver and the kidneys. So the book describes very precise plan for 6 weeks for rebooting your health by following this special food plan and then taking different supplements that work with those key areas, the gut health, the liver, and the kidneys.
Okay, you're mentioning the liver. Today we're hearing more and more. At one time I heard a third of the Americans, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
Whoever heard of this before, and now today, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Right, right. Well, most of that comes from inactivity. People being less physically active allows the liver to store our fuel as a what's called triglycerides, which is the marker for identifying the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And so basically, when you're taking in a lot more food than you're able to burn, your body stores it. And over time, that inactivity and excess of food is what leads to that problem. So the solution is, you know, to make dietary changes, be more careful about your food choices, and also become more active so that your metabolic rate overall can just, you know, afford that you're eating more food.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're all about. You like to heal with eating the different food groups, don't you, Dr. Katie?
Yeah, that's a big part. It's, you know, having done this for 15 years, I've definitely expanded beyond food. I wouldn't say only food is important, but it is, I mean, it's something we do at least 3 times a day. It's so foundational for health that I find that people are willing to make changes there, that they can make a lot of improvements in how they're feeling and in their health status by changing what they eat. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always sort of fascinated me.
Yes, keep the body systems balanced. That's right. The key, isn't it? That balance,
yeah.
Systems mm-hmm. balanced.
Right, right. And I think, you know, compared to our ancestors, we have access to so many different, most of us have access to so many different foods that people tend to be kind of overwhelmed and don't know sometimes what they should be eating or what they should be doing, right? It's not even just about, you know, not eating the things you know are blatantly unhealthy, which that's a good place to start too. But it's about, well, there's just the nutritional field is advancing at such a quick rate. There's just a lot of confusion. Should I be a vegan? Should I be a vegetarian? Should I eat a carnivore diet? Should I eat a keto diet? You know, I'm so confused because it's all so different. You know, I think people feel that way.
What's your journey?
Years ago.
What's your journey, Dr. Katie? How did you become so interested in medicine?
Well,
healing.
You know, I was always very interested in self-aware, I think, because I was an athlete in high school. And I went on to college and graduate school in the field of environmental studies, actually. I have a bachelor's in geology and got my master's degree studying wetland ecology. So I was looking at how to restore the natural environment. And as a 20-something-year-old, I had these chronic health issues that, like, weren't bad enough to be diagnosed with anything, but weren't good enough for me to feel symptom-free and feel healthy the way you would in your 20s. And so some friends encouraged me to go see a naturopathic doctor, which was something I had never done. And then I got into acupuncture also. I had an acupuncturist. I had many people who sort of helped me along the way to change my lifestyle. And then I was about to get a PhD in limnology here at UW. It was all set up with funding with my graduate advisor who had helped me with my master's. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I loved the field of ecology. So it wasn't that I didn't like that and I didn't want to go into limnology, but I felt like what I had learned about changing my lifestyle and changing what I ate had so fundamentally changed me emotionally and mentally too, right? It's not just about physical health, it's about being happy. And I thought, I'm this highly educated person. How did it take me like 25, 26 years to learn this thing? People need to know this.
Yes, yes.
And I dropped out like a month before the PhD program. I had to tell my advisor I was dropping out. It was a very difficult thing to do, and that I was going to enroll in a naturopathic doctor program. And I did. And then I got a job working for my naturopathic doctor so that I could, you know, more directly learn.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then that was the beginning. Then I was off from there, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We hear so much about salt. You know, we have all different types of salt, and as such, we're seeing today.
Yeah.
Are there any healing properties?
Oh, yeah.
With
absolutely.
Salt?
I mean, I think after air and water, salt is fundamental for human health. But you're only really so good as the salt that you're taking in, too. There's different types of salt. But if we think about our bodies at the cellular level, things happen, health happens based on electrolytes, and that is salt, sodium, chloride, other minerals that are found in the salt. And it's actually kind of fascinating to look back at the history of salt and dietary recommendations around salt in this country, because the science has changed quite a bit. You know, we commonly hear that we should avoid salt because of high blood pressure, but only a subset of people with hypertension are sodium sensitive. And so, yes, those people absolutely do need to be following their doctor's guidance and being careful about salt. And sometimes they can do special types of salt, but they should be following that advice. But for everyone else who doesn't have hypertension, salt is actually extremely beneficial. And a lot of people walk around with low blood pressure. They get lightheaded when they stand up, which is a clear sign that they're not getting enough salt. So one of my favorite salts is called Baja Gold. It's found in Baja, Mexico. And it's taken from the ocean very naturally. It's a raw salt, because what happens when we refine the salt is that we lose all the beneficial minerals and trace minerals that are in the salt, which are so helpful for powering our bodies, basically. So,
yes.
So table salt is really not at all qualitatively or quantitatively as good as a raw natural sea salt like the Baja Gold salt. And so personally, that was a part of my personal health journey, that I was able to meet a doctor who pointed out to me that I just needed a lot more salt. And he was absolutely right. And I monitor that by looking at my blood tests, you know, and when I'm working with people one-on-one, I assess them using the data and using tests so that we know that what we're doing is what's needed for the individual, rather than just following this blanket statement about what's right or wrong.
Right, right. Do you have any newsletters or something that the folks could follow you?
I do. I have an e-newsletter. So if people want to go to humannaturellc.com, go to that contact form and ask to be enrolled, they can. The other way that they can contact me is I give free monthly webinars, and those are always on the news tab. So if you go to humannaturellc.com and click on the news tab, you'll see the classes tab. The classes tab will show you the things that are coming up and how to reach out for me for a webinar link. Mm-hmm. And then the news tab has recordings of all my previous classes and blogs and things that I've written.
What about some foods like histamine? Do some foods have a natural histamine in them?
They do. So yeah, this is really helpful information sometimes when people have bad allergies or some other chronic problem that might be histamine related. And sometimes people are unaware that there's different histamine contents of food. So histamine is like the chemical that your immune system makes when it's aggravated, right? So most people might experience that as like itchy eyes or like a runny nose or a sore throat or like an ear problem or a rash. A low histamine diet can be very helpful for someone struggling with a chronic rash where nothing else is working. But then there's also subtle histamine-related symptoms, too. Sometimes not sleeping is a histamine reaction, or having migraines or heart palpitations. So the way that histamines impact someone can sometimes be pretty complex. But if they can restrict the histamine content of foods, that sometimes can help someone really get through a very difficult allergy season or, you know, difficult period and try to get to the bottom of resolving the picture. So the foods that are highest in histamines are things that are fermented, accumulate more histamine. So, you know, you think of like canned food or sauerkraut, or, you know, sometimes these things people think are really good for them, actually are contributing to histamine. So it's really, again, I'm not trying to make a blanket statement about mm-hmm. a food being good mm-hmm. or bad. It's really about mm-hmm. knowing the individual.
Yes.
And kind of being able to adjust things. Avocados and chocolate are very high histamine too. So sometimes people are like, I'm following this great whole foods diet, but I'm really struggling with this histamine symptom. And I say, well, yeah, that sounds like you're eating a lot of high histamine foods.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to reduce those for a period of time while we can kind of work on strengthening them so they're not so sensitive to eating
right,
those.
Right. Dr. Katie, it goes back to keep body systems balanced, mm-hmm. doesn't it? That balance yeah. once again.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
is. And but, I mean, the cool thing is that a lot of very simple and even free things can keep your body balanced, right? Like going to sleep at a regular time, getting natural sunlight, staying hydrated, getting good salt. Salt is actually a natural antihistamine. So sometimes the answer is much simpler than we think to helping us be balanced.
That's why it goes back to education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
right.
lay people, we need someone like you to explain that to us so we can make those are subtle mm-hmm. changes, you know, being
yeah.
out in the sunlight, taking a walk.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
understanding the value mm-hmm, of it helps you mm-hmm. to, you know,
there's no membership involved
mm-hmm.
to sit in the sun and read a book
right.
or take a walk in the sunshine. And
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, this is lots of good information. And I hope the folks will tune in and catch you on Rex's show, My World, and welcome to it, because you were just his guest talking mm-hmm. more about your book in detail than what we did. And they can get to know that side of you, too, who you are. And thank you for coming in, Dr. Katie. And once again, what's your contact information, please?
They can find me at humannaturellc.com, and my phone number is 608-301-9961.
Thank you for coming in, Katie. And folks, be sure to tune in, Rex, at My World and Welcome to It to hear Katie's program talking about her book, The Body Tune-Up. Folks, health and happiness, make it a great week. Stay tuned in for more sports, local talk, music, and community events.